We are starting a new series today called Join the Party. And I want to start this morning by telling you about my friend Bill. Bill was one of my volunteers in the youth ministry. Bill was from this little small town in Pennsylvania. Basically, this town was in the middle of nowhere. Hunting and fishing were just like a part of life. Everyone in that town, they had a gun and a pickup truck. That's like how this town worked. And he married this woman named Jody, and they moved to our area because of work. And they were married in the church that I worked at. And they wanted to start getting involved in the church. So Jody, she started helping out with the children's ministry. And Bill, he just was like, yeah, like little kids are great, but like you can't do fun things with little kids. You know, like they're so fragile. He's like, so I want to be with the older kids. And Bill was great with students. He would do all kinds of funny things with the middle school students. Like he would make them laugh. It would even make me laugh, some of the things that he did. And we worked well together. But we were different. See, Bill, he loved hunting and fishing. You know, I loved things with motors and that went fast and I could do something stupid on, right? And I had no patience for waiting around to like catch dinner. He went to the huge state university and I went to the small Bible college. He worked in fast-paced corporate America. I worked in the church. He wore dress shoes and dress shirts during the week and camo and boots on the weekends. I wore sandals and t-shirts during the week and collared shirts on the weekends. He really, really liked working with numbers and finance things. I just think of that stuff and it makes me almost want to barf. We were different. We were very different. And honestly, like I felt a little intimidated to be around him because he was just so smart when it came to numbers and finances and things like this and things he would talk about. I was just like, oh, yeah, that sounds great. And the things he liked and the things he liked to do were just like out of my comfort zone. I grew up in the city. Tall buildings, street noise, loud neighbors. I rode my bike or walked everywhere. We were two different people, but he wanted to work with the students. I remember the first time I really got to know Bill. He offered his house as a place to have a student Bible study. So that Sunday night, me and Jendi and all the students, we piled into his condo for the Bible study. And then after the Bible study, he took me down into his basement. He showed me all of his guns and his deer antlers. And I was like, oh, that, I don't know what I'm looking at, but it must be cool. We finished up. We said goodbye. And then Jendi and I, we went home. But that night, our relationship began to change. A few weeks later, we invited Bill and Jody over to our house. Nothing big. We just wanted to get together with them. And I don't remember much about that night, but I do remember them leaving. And I remember thinking, I like that guy, Bill. I enjoy being around him. I mean, he's different, but like, I like who he is. One night at youth group, we had a very angry parent came to the church. I don't remember what she was angry with, but she was mad. And Bill didn't just jump into my defense, but he stepped into the conversation and he shared his view on the situation. Over the next few years, Bill became one of my key leaders. Our friendship was growing. Our friendship was deeper. Whenever I needed help, Bill was there. Bill would show up early to set things up, and he would stay after to clean things up. And when Bill moved from his condo into his house, I was there to help. When Bill lost his job, Jenny and I were there to provide support and help, to bring hope. When Bill's daughter was born, Jenny and I were there. I mean, we weren't like in the room, but we came and we visited them, you know, we said hi and like held the baby and did baby things. But at birthday parties, graduations, any holidays, even if we just made up holidays, we would get together. We wanted to be together. And they wanted to be with us. And I specifically remember the day. I remember the day that Jendy and I, we were flying to Florida. We were flying to Florida to see if Panama would be a good fit for us. We were being assessed. But then it hit me. As I stood there in front of Bill and Jody, like if all of this went through, if I was actually a good fit to go to Panama, I was leaving Bill. I wasn't leaving my job. I wasn't leaving my church. I wasn't leaving my students. But I was leaving Bill. It was quite emotional. And over the next several months, as we moved through the process and eventually said goodbye, it was hard. It was one of the hardest. But here's the point. Bill taught me more about being a neighbor than any other Christian leader has ever taught me. Because sometimes it takes a party to change the way that we see each other. I want you to think about this statement for a little bit. Sometimes it takes a party to change the way we see each other. Because I'm convinced if Bill would have never invited us over to his house, our relationship would have stayed superficial. When I walked through those doors and into his house and spent time with his family, something changed between us. There's something about spending time together. When it's unrushed, when you're in a safe environment where people can just be who they want to be, it builds a bridge and it builds a different kind of relationship. So I'm sure, as we talk about parties, there's hundreds of images that are flying through your head. There's hundreds of images when I say the word party. So I want to clarify. I'm not talking about the irresponsible, indulgent, indecent kind of party that leaves you with a hangover the next morning or sending text messages that you don't remember sending, that you wake up and you're like, oh man, I can't believe I sent that. Instead, what I'm talking about when I say party, I'm talking about engaging with other people in a way that adds depth to your life. Because there is a way to celebrate, there is a way to interact with others that moves life to a unique way of doing life with others. And so a party is any effort to celebrate, to serve, or enjoy each other in a way that adds value to life. Let me break this down a little bit. A party is any effort. A party can be fast, it can be short, it can be big, it can be small. A party is meant to celebrate. It pays tribute to, it honors someone. It can serve. A party can serve someone. It can help them or support them. And a party is meant to be enjoyed. A party should be fun. A party, it also, we need each other. That we need at least two people to have a party, right? It's pretty boring party if you're just by yourself. But a party with two people, in a way that adds value to life. A party should make a positive impact. And this is why parties should be a priority. And maybe this is why Jesus seemed to love parties so much. Jesus knew the potential of what could happen at a party. He went to parties. He told stories about parties. He compared God's kingdom to parties. Jesus even crashed parties. It's as if Jesus was saying, sometimes it takes a party. Think about this. Think about this. Jesus did his first miracle at a party. John chapter 2. Jesus is at this wedding party, and the party runs out of wine. And so he makes sure that the party's not over. And so Jesus does, he does what his mother asked him to do. He turns water into wine, and he makes sure that they don't run out. He makes sure that it's the best quality. It was as if God was making a statement from the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, that sometimes it takes a party to demonstrate that God cares about who is at the party. Remember the story in Mark, and it's also in Luke, about the prodigal son? This compelling story tells about this rebellious son who leaves home, spends all of his inheritance, and then comes begging, comes crawling back home, begging his father, please take me back as a servant. And you know what the father does? The father throws him a party. And we're not just talking about like a welcome home, woo, you're home party. We're talking about like a huge party. Like bring the best robe party. Kill the best cow so that we can have the best food at our party. It's as if God was implying that sometimes it takes a party to confirm that we can always be forgiven. God is showing us that nothing can validate forgiveness like celebrating with another person. Then there's the party in Luke 19, where Jesus himself, he just invites himself over to Zacchaeus' house. He says, we're going to party at your house tonight, Zacchaeus. Matthew 9, Jesus goes to Matthew's house. And Matthew's house is like this notorious party house. You know, like, you know, we've all know these houses in college, or we knew whose house was the notorious party house in high school, right? But this party house, Matthew's house, was the place where all the tax collectors and all the sinners went and partied. And Jesus eventually went to so many parties that it raised alarms in the religious world. The Pharisees even accused him in Matthew 11 of having a drinking problem. You see, the point is, Jesus liked to party because Jesus loved people. And the way Jesus interacts with people, the way that he interacts with people in the gospel, it implies that sometimes it takes a party to prove that people matter more than our opinions. I believe that Jesus knew something he knew something happens at a party that can't happen anywhere else. And when you can just sit and enjoy being with other people, when you can be comfortable and see how other people see their world, when you feel safe enough to share your opinions, and when you feel safe enough to share your true colors, it opens doors. It builds bridges. It deepens relationship in a way that no other situation can. Now, the Pharisees, on the other hand, they didn't like parties. They were what we would call party poopers. Their theology kept them from getting too close to these people they labeled as sinners. The Pharisees felt that they were too good, that they were too righteous, that they were too respectable to interact with people who did not follow the law. These sinners that went to the local parties. And they spent more time and most of their lives trying to get on this VIP list of parties. They wanted to be inducted into the religious elite club. So imagine how they must have felt when Jesus came along and he changed all the rules when it came to parties. When he shifted the paradigm. Imagine how insulted they were when this son of a carpenter, Jesus, suddenly shows up and expands the invitation list. Think about it. How angry would you be if you had worked your whole life to be good, to be respectable, not doing anything wrong, so that you could get into that VIP club, so that you would be invited to that special party. And then all of a sudden the rules change and everybody is welcomed. Everyone is invited. How would that make you feel? And that's exactly what happened. I wish I could have seen the faces of the Pharisees when Jesus told them this parable about the wedding in Luke 14. I wish I could have seen the reaction when Jesus talked about this extravagance of this event. When he talked about the invitations that were sent out. They were sent out to these VIP people. And then all of a sudden there's a plot twist in the story. All of a sudden everything changes because now every nation, every race, every denomination, every human being on the planet is also invited to the party. Imagine what the reaction was. And as Jesus starts to describe the host of the party, sending out these invitations, making sure everyone is invited, I'm sure they were annoyed. I'm sure that they were angry. Because all of a sudden the host opens the doors wide open for all to come in. It's as if Jesus was saying, sometimes it takes us a party to remind us that everyone is invited to the party. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. It's a banquet. It's a party that God is inviting everyone to be a part of. And everyone matters, and everyone is invited, and everyone means everyone. So that means everyone who is black, everyone who is white, everyone who is Asian, everyone who is Hispanic, everyone who is young, everyone who is old, everyone who is a Dallas Cowboys fan, Everyone who's a Patriots fan. I mean, even those of you that love Apple products are invited to the party. Those of you that drink Coke, those of you that drink Pepsi are invited. Those of you who love Garth Brooks are invited. Those of you that like Justin Timberlake, those of you that love Whitney Houston. I mean, who doesn't love Whitney Houston? It doesn't matter if you're Democrat or Republican, we are all invited to the party. And this is the idea that God is showing us. God is throwing a party, and every one of us is invited. And this should change how we see the people in our world around us. Because I don't want you to miss that there is a party happening. And it's actually going to be one great party. It's going to be an amazing party. Because the invitation was extended by the creator of the universe. And the good news is that everyone is invited. So what if you started acting like everyone is invited to the party? What if you started seeing everyone like they were invited to the party? Think about this. How would that one idea change? This one idea change your relationship with people that you meet every single day? Knowing that the God, the creator of the universe, invites you to the party. I want you to stop and think about this for a second. Imagine that Tom Hanks, all right, the actor Tom Hanks, invites you to a party at his house. I mean, I'd be pretty excited, right? I mean, that is guaranteed to be an awesome party. And the day before the party, you're in the grocery store. You're like strutting along, you're like, yeah, Tom Hanks invited me to the party. And then all of a sudden you see somebody and they say, hey, are you going to Tom Hanks' party? So am I. How would that change your view of that person that you knew that they were also invited to that party? I bet your attitude would change. As soon as you knew that they were invited to the same party that you were. Because someone as important as Tom Hanks invited them to. Wouldn't it change the way that you see that person? Wouldn't that change the way that you interact with that person, how you talk to them? Imagine what would happen if we began to look at every individual in our life as if they were invited to God's party. Imagine what would happen if we invited people who are different than you and I to sit at our table, to sit in our celebration, to join us in our party. Imagine what would happen if we invited those who were abused, those who are abandoned, those who were forgotten to be our special guest at a party. Imagine what would happen if we were to organize our time and our lives to create places, to create times where it gave people hope. With all the crap that's happening in our world right now, I believe that there is no better time to start acting like we believe that everyone is invited to the party. Because Jesus changed the rules. Jesus doesn't say that it's VIP people only. Jesus invites everyone to the party. And this is the mindset that you and I need to have in the world around us. Turn to the person next to you right now and tell them, did you know you're invited to the party? Go ahead. Yes, that's right. Even you. You are invited to the party. And everybody needs to hear this. Kids need to hear this. Teenagers need to hear this. Your coworkers need to hear this. Your family needs to hear this. The guy who cleans your windshield at the stoplight, even when you tell him no, he needs to hear that he's invited to the party. They need to know that they are invited to the party. They need to know that their neighbors are invited to the party, that their family is invited to the party, that their school friends are invited to the party. They need to know that everybody that they know is invited to the party. You see, the problem is that in today's church, we've become so disillusioned that the idea of church is only for special people. It's only for the VIPs. And not everybody is invited to the church. And so we will discriminate against those who don't look like us. We reject those who don't measure up to us. We will even stay away. We won't even look at the people who don't believe at the same things as we do. So if you have doubts or you're just checking things out or if you don't believe in the things that we do, we will go as far as like we don't even want to interact or be around those people. And as a result, what happens is what we do is we segregate the gospel. But here's the thing. The gospel doesn't segregate. The gospel integrates. And one day there's going to be a huge party, and it's going to be like an amazing party. It's going to be a great party. It's going to be a party that you're not going to want to miss. And it's the party that we need to be telling other people about, that you don't want to miss this party. Because this party will be integrated. It will be in the same kingdom, and we'll be all in the same room, and we'll all sit at the same table, because the gospel does not segregate. What if we started acting like the party has started? What if we started acting like the party has already started and everyone is invited? Because you know what? This is the thing. I believe that all of you here this morning, you are party starters. You don't want to force other people to believe what you believe. But you want to be given something to do. You want to be put in charge of something. You want to launch into something. You want to be excited by something. And you want to share that with someone. And the people of this city, the people of Panama City, they don't want to come to church and listen to me preach and sing 5 songs and then go home. They don't want to do that. But the people of Panama City, you know what they want? They want an adventure. The people of this city, they want life change. They don't want more people. They don't want more programs and forcing people into programs. They don't want that. They want to experience God. They want Jesus that was promised to them in John 10:10. That in, when it says, I have come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. And you know what? You are the best people to share that news. You are the best person to share that Jesus with people. Not me, not in here, but out there. Because you all are party starters. Because you all can do it better than I can. See, unfortunately, when you grow up in the church or you've spent any kind of prolonged time in the church, you think church is all about programs. You are programmed to think that if I read the Bible more, if I pray more, if I go to church more, if I listen to more Christian music, if I debate more theology with people, then you know what? I'll discover how to live life to the fullest. You see, but the truth is, all those things will still leave you pretty empty. I mean, just ask the Pharisees, right? Just ask Jesus. And the Pharisees modeled what it looked like to be a believer. They looked like it on the outside, but it meant nothing on the inside. And they prayed, they read their Bible, they debated, they attended. But yet in Matthew 23, Jesus says this to them. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, in which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanliness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. We keep thinking discipleship is about consuming more information. It's about attending more programs. But see, this is the thing. Discipleship has always been and will always be about relationship. Because the more quality time we spend together, the more we love others, the more we change the faith and the future of others. Faith is not meant to be memorized and recited. It's meant to be lived out. And if we want to change our world, we have to spend less time thinking about how I'm going to win this argument, how I'm going to change this person's mind. And we need to start partying more. We need to spend more time celebrating how we should love each other. This is how we change people. This is how lives are transformed. Jesus modeled it. And thousands of years later, people's lives are still being transformed by it. So how often are you seeing your neighbor with this mindset? How often do you prioritize gatherings to be with others? How often do you celebrate other people's stories and other people's accomplishments? I believe that all of you can be relentless at loving others. I believe that all of you can be relentless at serving others. Because when we do that, when we relentlessly love other people, when we relentlessly serve other people, it has a powerful effect on other people's lives and other people's faith. Because the more quality time we spend together, the more we love others, the more we change the faith and the future of others. Would you pray with me? God, I thank you. Thank you for the example that you sent down to this earth. And that he just didn't hang out with certain people and talk to certain people, but he attended parties with different kinds of people. He listened to them. He spoke with them. He spent time with them. God, I pray that we would have this same mindset, that we would have this same attitude. That as we see Christ's example, that we would also do the same. God, I pray for each and every one of us here. I pray that we would believe that we are party starters. That you would change our mindset to see everyone as invited to the party. God, give us the courage. Give us the patience. Give us the listening ear to sit down with people and to hear from them. God, help us to look past the programs, past the things that we need to do, and see the relationship. God, I thank you that you call us into a relationship. God, and I pray that we would have the courage to seek others in that same type of relationship. God, I thank you that you give us the freedom to love you like this, to love others this way. God, we thank you that you are close, that you are an intimate, that you are a personal God. And I pray that we would share that love that you so desperately want us to experience, that we would share that love with other people in the same way that you showed it to us on that cross. God, I thank you for all these people here. God, I pray that as we leave here, that we would see the world the way that you see the world. God, bend our hearts away from ourselves and help us bend our hearts towards you and towards other people. God, we love you, we thank you, and we pray all these things in your name. Amen.